Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals. More smiles, less time wasted.
Hello again and welcome to the Happy Signals Podcast. Today on the podcast, we have with us the author of Humanizing IT. Many of you might know her, but for those who don't, welcome to the show, Katriina. And would you like to introduce yourself briefly?
Hi there. Thank you. And thank you to Happy Signals for the opportunity. As you said, Katriina McDermott, I'm the creator and author of Humanizing IT.
When it comes to creating and writing the book Humanizing IT, what was the spark for that? What got you to write the book, and do you want to tell the backstory?
Yes. I don't know. Sometimes I wish that spark hadn't been lit because I don't know if any of the listeners have written a book. It's very, very difficult. I completely underestimated what would be required. I thought, I can do this in about 3 months. Probably, well over a year later, it finally got to the last edition before print, I should say. And why did I do it? I saw a niche and a need, probably is a better word, of wanting to share what I sort of call the aha moment in IT service management. And really, my passion, I love training and I love educating IT professionals. And that was probably the catalyst because, as I said, I wanted to share what I found was pretty transformational in how I viewed what IT service management was. And coming from, my background in ITIL Master and contributing author of ITIL 4, someone said about me, I would cut me open and I'd bleed IT service management. I was very passionate about it. And then having a moment of understanding what human-centered design was and okay. Why don't we start incorporating that into IT service management? So I guess really it was to share and educate what I found was what I think that IT service management needs, which was humanizing IT.
You mentioned human-centered design, and maybe one aspect that I heard in a different podcast was that the double diamond approach, where IT might be jumping into solution mode too quickly without really understanding the problem first. Mm. What kind of situation do you feel reflected or revealed this jumping straight into solution mode? What are the typical situations that you saw where you saw that, hey, there is a need to address this?
I think most of IT service management is based on jumping into solution mode. You need a CMDB, you need these type of metrics, you need, this is how you manage tickets, the solutions presented to us and we follow that solution, also known as best practice, I guess. And, what I find is that actually let's stop, and in the book we talk about look at the people first and then develop your processes or your solutions, as opposed to process first and developing them, assuming that's the right way to do it. And I'm very passionate about that. It's about challenging. And human-centered design is a problem-solving approach to complex problems, or creative approach, I should say. And IT is complex, so that we should use the human-centered design approach to it, yeah.
That really resonates with me. We had a customer event in Helsinki, and our keynote speaker was Lauren Alice Kelly, who also was on the podcast some months ago. And one of the aspects that she really brought forth was that people are irrational. Like, regardless of what we might want to think, people are irrational, and sort of recognizing that will change the approach. Does this resonate with you, that people are irrational? Is that the reason why it is important to not jump straight into solution mode?
Yes and no. I think that, and again, as we say in the book, in IT service management, we're not encouraged to be creative. We're encouraged to follow process. So I think being irrational doesn't really, in that instance, influence design because we're following process. Maybe irrational in how they react sometimes, but I think that as I said, we're not really encouraged to be creative. So we and you know, design thinking would say it's okay to be irrational because, you know, have ideas and think outside the box, and you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah.
And this creative part, has it been difficult to get IT people to embrace their own creativity, or has this something been that has been welcomed with open arms once they see the opportunity and the possibility for that?
It's difficult. So we run humanizing IT boot camps, and we talk about divergent, convergent thinking. Divergent thinking is go crazy with ideas, you know. It's about quantity, not quality. And invariably, you know, the ideas, you know, we might look, how can we improve the incident management process? And ideas are things like get it reviewed more regularly or make sure there's an owner. You know, so really far from being creative. And I'm like, come on, let's use drones to solve it. And like, let's be crazy. So it is very difficult, I find, for the majority of IT professionals to be creative, including myself, you know, as I said. I think that IT, by its very nature, draws people that are very binary and, you know, we like fixing things and we like following process. So that's a challenge within itself. And so to teach these type of personas that are drawn to IT to be creative. And as design thinking says, we are all creative. And just to really encourage it and say, you know, when you cook a meal, you are creative. You might put more salt in or add some more spices. That's being creative. And so let's season that into service management.
Looking at service management, I mean, many of the IT organizations that you also work with might be supporting thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, even in some cases. How do you tackle that? There must be some fear as well, like going creative might break something.
Well, I think that's where it gets lost because, yeah, as you said, it could be supporting thousands of people or hundreds, you know, and trying to support that and keep a stable environment. And, you know, and I say that we still need controls in place. We still need processes and governance. Absolutely we do. But they should be guidelines, not always the magic rule that you follow. And amongst this chaos or, you know, supporting so many people, complexity, what we often forget is the people behind it. And I like to tell a story. A friend of mine, he retired quite recently, and he worked in IT service management all his career, so over 40 years, and he became a postman. And one thing that really stuck with him, he's no longer a postman because the hours were too long, but one thing that he said that was a culture within post office is that every letter is important. So make sure that every letter gets delivered, and that is the culture. And so I like to say that about, you know, when I have the opportunity to do our boot camps or training in humanizing IT, that every ticket is like a letter. It's important. Like, don't let it get mixed up in the chaos and complexity of what we are in. Think about the user at the end of that ticket.
And I really love that because we found in our own benchmark data, when we looked at the cumulative and the way that Happy Signals measures is that we really get the perception from people. So we asked them, how did you feel about IT across different touch points? And we also asked them, did you lose any time with this interaction or in this specific touch point? And when it comes to incidents, 80% of the lost time that people perceive comes from only less than 13% of the tickets. And when we looked further into it, it almost seemed like, you know, once the milk is spilled in terms of SLA breach, then that ticket gets forgotten and it gets put into a pile. But there's a lot of tickets there that might be business critical, but because they don't help the agent anymore to meet his own metrics, then that's sort of, okay, that's gone. Don't worry about it anymore. But I love this analogy about every letter is important because that's exactly what we've been trying to say, but not in such a like clear way. That really brings that to life. Thank you. And then when it comes to every letter is important, that means that every single person in IT needs to understand that every letter is important. Because if the agent sees that, but then the manager is saying, no, that letter is not important anymore because you like it breached SLA and we have penalties and things. How do you address this part that might not be enough time to consider every letter important?
Well, you see, a lot of innovative IT companies that I have the opportunity to work with, they don't have those type of SLAs. And I mean, I wrote my thesis on service level agreements, and I think that a lot of the culture poor perception of IT is because of SLAs that were designed to fit IT's constraints, not designed to fit the user experience.
So you wrote your thesis around SLAs. So how do you then recommend? You have these companies coming in, doing the training. They start thinking more creatively. But then do they come up with a question of, okay, we have SLAs and we still need a governance. So how do we balance the human experience piece versus the more rigid and structured SLA piece? What's your answer to how to balance these two?
My answer is you're jumping into solution mode. I hate people that answer, it depends, but it does depend. It depends on your organization's maturity, your culture, your technology stack. You know, if you're working in a very young technology stack, it's going to be completely different to, you know, legacy IT, you know, with technical debt, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I mean, I think it's ludicrous having, you know, SLAs such as call handling time. You know, some organizations in my study actually have SLAs, the longer, the better. Because what that means is, yeah, you're helping the customer provide a better experience. And also what, you know, I'm really passionate about and what we talk about in humanizing IT, it's just not the experience of the user, it's the experience of the IT professional. You know, how do they feel when they're doing the same, you know, password resets, file access, the same, same old, same old. You know, let's look at the experience of them. So I do, of course, the user experience is important, but also of equal importance is the experience of the IT professional, because I want the business or users to empathize with IT people. I mean, it's not always our fault things are broken. You know, a lot of the time it's, you know, there's lots of other surrounding issues. So, you know, that whole, you know, co-creation of value that a lot of frameworks do use. And that's a tenet of a principle of human-centered design is, you know, having empathy for everybody in the system.
That's a really great point. And thank you for challenging me as well, jumping into solution mode. I suppose that's it's very, very easy to do when I see that. About the IT people, so empathizing with IT, what then motivates agents and IT teams? What are the kind of things that really motivate them in the right way so that they don't need just a metric to hit, but would actually start being intrinsically motivated to do more experience-centric work?
I think to get the basics right, you know, I have a saying that probably a lot of your listeners might have heard me say that, I'm not being negative or, you know, facetious or things like that, but you know, my saying is that same problems, different logos. And now I'm going to say it because I've done this world tour. Same problems, different logo, different countries. You know, everybody, I feel most IT organizations have the same issues. They're still addressing the same things. And so how do we empower and make IT professionals better? Get the basics right so they can do more value-added work. As I said, I just can't believe that most IT organizations have amazing tools, IT service management tools, and they're still doing things really poorly, which, you know, downstream is impacting how IT professionals work. You know, creating portals that, you know, I can't even understand how to use them. Still doing so many things manually. And as I say quite often, you know, most IT organizations don't have a functioning CMDB. And if we haven't got the fundamentals in place, it's not going to be a joyous place to work, IT, is it? Because we're just going to be fixing the same old stuff.
If somebody's wondering, then I wonder if our organization has gotten the basics right. Are there any questions or introspective approaches that they could use to understand if their own perception of how good they are is flawed or lacking in different ways? What's your approach of scratching the surface to see if their perception is wrong?
What I like to do, is, you know, as part of a consulting and training, is I like to speak to people doing the work. You know, traditionally, you know, when you're in a company like myself, you speak to management, you find out, you know, what's going on. And I have a saying, like, if you want to buy a broom, ask the sweeper, not the procurement person. So I like to talk to people on the service desk, you know, to people that the process owners in IT, and they're frustrated and they're not overly happy. I think there's a feeling of they're just complacent, or, you know, that's just how it is. We're just, you know, that's just how it is. It's not going to change in a hurry. You know, might do incremental improvements, but, you know, I find, sorry, I didn't mean to have a go before, but when I said jump in solution mode, it's amazing the insights that people have in IT operations. I'm just going to say, you know, we might say here on the tools, but actually doing the doing that they have, and very rarely get the opportunity to express. And I find that very humbling. I mean, the other day I was speaking to someone on the service desk, and they come up with an idea, because probably you might be familiar with this, of the, you know, the ticket bouncing, it goes to level two and level two brings it back, and, you know, the usual, because of SLAs, you know, rah, rah. And they came up with an idea that the user can actually book a time with level two in a calendar. But I thought that was pretty innovative. Like, you know, and they said, ask people on the ground floor for ideas. You know, when we do, you know, going into the design phase, it's pretty amazing. And then what would empower them and make them happy? Let's ask them. Mm.
Do you see then if the agents or people on the ground are being heard and their ideas are being considered, does that change the way that the IT is then doing service management? Is that one thing, that just giving people more autonomy and the liberty to actually think freely, does that have a real impact? And when do you see that? What are the circumstances that enable?
Yeah, I absolutely think that is true. And it's more giving them a sense of empowerment, and they have a voice. You know, as I say, why do organizations get consultants in when your people know what to fix? They know what the problems are. You can pay a lot of money for consultants to come in, but as I said, your people, just let them have a voice. You know, and another example, again, of speaking to people on the ground floor is, I always thought that, you know, fixed on first was a really good metric. And someone on the service desk said, no, it's not a good metric. I'm like, yes, it is. And they said, no, because that means it should be automated. I'm like, yeah, that's actually true. So it's not a great metric. So, you know, so putting a different lens on things is a very valuable way of doing design.
Many of the listeners are the managers and IT leaders. What are some practical advice that you would be able to give them on how they could start becoming a little bit more human in the way that they both encourage their agents to be experience centric, but also more centered on the end user experience?
It's a very similar question and to a statement that I quite often hear. You know, managers will say, you know, we need to be more customer focused or more user centric. And just saying that, what does that mean? And, you know, quite often say, it's like telling someone to be taller or happier. I mean, what does it mean? And so, you know, and then people say to me, oh yeah, you know, we're starting to introduce customer experience. And we have to be very, very mindful that this is actually an art and a craft, and it's a skill. And so you can't just say to a manager, you need to do that. So my advice would be, do training in human-centered design, and it will completely transform how you view, rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to ask my staff how they can be more happier. You know, that's not how it works. So my advice is, as I said, become familiar with tools and techniques of design thinking, and start implementing that into your teams. Yeah.
That's interesting. We had one customer in Denmark who started using Happy Signals, and we have these support profiles. Are you competent or not competent with IT? Or do you feel competent or incompetent? And then do you like fixing things yourself, or do you like somebody fixing things for you? And it creates these four different profiles. And what this customer did is that it had its agents take personality tests every 2 years to better understand themselves. And then they would be listening to calls where they knew that profile, and they had to guess based on the language that the end user was using, try to understand what kind of preferences and confidence levels they had with IT. And what that led to is actually a dramatic decrease in the perception of lost time, because they probably were able to empathize with the user and understand what kind of approach they would prefer. But I love the fact that every 2 years, because your personality might change, so it's not a one-off at the beginning and then forget about it. It's actually something that is updated and used in an active way.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen, you know, options where, well, we've designed it, I should say, that if you feel you are technically competent, press 2. So it goes straight. And if you feel that you're not, press 1, sort of thing, yeah. Mm.
So to wrap this up, what's next then for you? Now the book is out, the book tour is, for this part at least, over. Where do you see, like, based on the experience from your last couple of months speaking to people, speaking about the book, what do you see is the next frontier for you where you would want to make an impact?
Well, our vision is to have every IT professional certified in humanizing IT. That's what, and so we've just finished our training, online training platform. We released it about 4 to 5 weeks ago. So that's very exciting. And really, you know, and this isn't a plug of sorts, but it's really, I'm really passionate about it. And, you know, it's affordable. And it, as I said, it's very transformational how you view. And it really, we go back to basics, because what I find is that a lot of IT professionals can't articulate what IT service management is. And it's like, if you can't articulate it, well, how do you expect the business to understand what we do? You know, as I said, we don't just fix things. We actually enable business outcomes. And we talk about, you know, as I said, really basic things like what actually is a business service and what's an IT service. Because, again, I find a lot of IT professionals don't know that. And if you feel confident, you can skip that, do the quiz and skip it. But if you feel, actually, no, I want to, because I feel a lot of training sort of makes an assumption that what is a service, an IT service and a business outcome, all that stuff. And I mean, that's why we're here, is we're here to enable business outcomes in IT. And if you don't know what your business outcomes are, you know, you are just supporting technology. Yeah.
That's a good point. We, and other benchmark data, but we looked at in Q4 2020, we looked at how talking to business about what's important when IT went to business, even just presenting there is, like, we are thinking about doing this, the increase in how experience was impacted positively was so good. But when IT, in almost 80% of the cases, internally decide what's good and then internally decide how they should be measured on it, well, experience doesn't really happen. So is this something that resonates?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then I will also say that, you know, we have it a bit tough, I believe, in IT as well, because we actually don't, a lot of the time, get enough money for service. We get enough money sometimes to, you know, for technology, supporting the tech, but do we get budget allocation for service? As I said, we're in the business of IT service management, and, you know, it's hard. So, you know, I think that we all deserve a pat on the back in IT. I think that we do an amazing job and we don't give ourselves enough credit under, as I said, the complexity that we are dealing with a lot of the time inadequate funding.
Do you ever get asked about, like, how can you prove the return on investment on having IT take these humanizing IT courses?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And how do you address that question?
I say, what's your return on investment at the moment on service management?
And are people able to answer that?
No. I mean, who knows how much it costs to serve in IT.
No, it is fascinating because I remember another statistic from a MetricNet that only 4% of the IT budget goes to the IT support, sort of the service layer. And we, in our own data, then we find that it really is the thing that makes or breaks IT's reputation and perception within the business. I mean, if people, when they say they're happy with IT, IT support service is the first thing that they mentioned as a contributing factor. If they're not happy, that's the same thing. It's like the front-facing part of IT.
But this is why, again, you know, I have issue with, sorry, I go back to a previous question, with service levels as we know them today, or KPIs. You know, number of calls to the service desk, you know, how long it took to resolve. I mean, why is that an indication of IT? It, to me, it says that products are being released to the business that weren't tested properly, or are hard to use, usability, things like that. That is, so we're measuring the wrong things. A user not knowing how to do something, which a lot of, and I'm doing a post on this actually soon, in our research, is a high percentage of incidents. And a user not knowing how to do something, or the system not being able to do it, is not an incident.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times they are logged as incidents.
I remember the book, The Design of Everyday Things. And in this book, the author is speaking about learned helplessness. That when we are dealing with technology, it's this aspect of people already, because of their experience with badly designed software and processes, already going into a process that doesn't work well, they feel, oh, it's my fault. I don't know how to use it. When exactly. It should actually be, no, it's just badly designed.
Correct. Yeah.
So is this learned helplessness something that that is a hindrance? How do you see this in happening in IT service management?
Well, I think it's more like a lot of the times IT professionals are tasked with designing services or products, whatever you want to call them, and this isn't our skill. So we're designing things to users that are hard. We think it's easy, but users don't. And so, you know, the right skills for the right jobs sort of thing is also, and that's why, you know, if we look at our tickets properly, there's so much information that we're just throwing away. And as I said, they're not incidents. That it's other. I mean, obviously there's some, but it's actually, as I said, in my research, it's actually quite a low volume of incidents that are actually incidents. There are other factors that we're not using in those tickets or data, I should say, to improve how we do IT, service management.
And if IT is then logging them as incidents, what's your recommendation on what they should be logging them as? Is it a separate ticket type, or is it just a problem that they should take outside of the support process?
I would probably, it depends on how the tool's set up, but, you know, it could be an incident. It's how you categorize it. It could be, you know, usability, knowledge, access, governance, you know. Sometimes you can't do something because it's a governance issue. So, like, look at the type of categories they are. And then once we know, oh, it's a usability issue or a knowledge issue, then, okay, how can we fix that? And then, again, we said just before the podcast, you know, are we fixing the wrong problems? Yes, we are. We are absolutely fixing the wrong problems in IT. You know, I say we are really good at fixing things. That's what we're really good at. So, you know, we improve the incident management process. Well, that's actually not the problem. it's what's causing the incidents is the problem.
So to wrap things up, if I think about this interview and what you've said, it requires a certain mind shift from the IT people that have the power to change how things are being done. And maybe if some rules of thumb, listen to your agents, the people on the front line, they know what they're talking about and they probably have solutions that are really good. And then also agents, listen to the end users, take the time to understand their problems so that you can be more focused on what would matter to the end users. any other sort of like rules of thumb that you give to companies that, that you want them to walk away with and remember once they have completed the humanizing IT trainings?
Be brave and think differently. And, you know, we're still doing, we're talking about ticket management a lot, but that's what I feel we mostly relate to, is that we're still doing it pretty much the same way that we've been doing it for 40 years. You know, like, do we need a service desk? And people like look at me aghast, of course we do. Do we need to log tickets? I'm like, why do we need to log tickets? So obviously we can look at resource availability. And I go, but you're assuming tickets are being logged anyway. And, you know, like just question what we traditionally know is and just give it a go and you know, test it, prototype it. That's what I would say, that, yeah, listen to the people on the ground and be brave.
That's a really good way of wrapping this up. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Katrina. And as we say at the end of every podcast, stay safe and stay happy.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free IT XM certification course on itxm.academy.